Amen.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning. This is Reverend Frank Dorsey in his present ministry, Word Evangelist. My pastor is the Reverend Dr. Doris Dorsey. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank God for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in this. We just thank God. We just praise God for this day, because He's God Almighty, and there is no other God beside Him. There is no other God in the heavens, there is no other God in the universe. There is no other God in the earth, on the earth, or beneath the earth. There is no other God in the depths of the sea. He is sovereign, mighty God, everlasting, everlasting, as we come today to worship and praise Him and give Him all the glory. And we just thank God. And we praise Him this day. At the end of His brother ministry, Word Evangelist, my pastor, the Reverend Dr. Doris Dorsey, and we come greeting you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as we come to expound on His holy and divine word. And we just thank God for this opportunity. We thank God for this time, because His grace is new every day. And we thank Him for His grace. We thank Him for His mercy. His grace is new every day. He is a loving God. He loves us. God is love. He loves us. And He makes it possible for us to love one another. He tells us to love one another and to care for one another, to share with one another, and to help one another. And we just thank God, and we just praise and worship Him. As we study His word, we put His word into our heart, and we walk by faith, and we live according to His word. And we thank God, and we praise Him, and we worship Him this day. As we continue here in Matthew's Gospel, we have been looking at the beatitude, the blessed attitude of Christ Jesus. We were talking about spiritual mountain climbing. We gave eight steps in His memory. We're looking at the Beatitudes. As we're looking at the blessed attitude of Christ Jesus, we're looking at those eight that He has given us here. And I've said again, we said, and we have to reiterate and say it again, these are the character traits of a follower of Christ Jesus. And we can't say that enough, because we must make that very clear. The Beatitude is not something that we come and we just say that I'm this or I'm that and start to picking and choosing which one we are. It's all encompassing. It's all inclusive. And as we stop and look at this, we must look at our lives, because these are the character traits of a follower. And as we look at the Beatitude, we also take us to the fruit of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit, He is empowering us. He is giving us these graces. And when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, we also see the relationship, because we see the love, the peace, the joy that the Beatitude speaks of. And so when we walk in before God and we walk in before man, people will see Christ Jesus in us. He's talking about our character traits. And we must examine ourselves to see if these character traits that Christ has spoken about are these character traits in our lives. Because He's speaking about justice and mercy and compassion and goodness and kindness and love. These are the character traits of Christ Jesus. And they come with blessing. Because He starts out by saying bless, bless, bless. And that bless is not a bless, a happiness that comes from the world system, as we have pointed out. It doesn't come from the world system. This is a divine well-being, a divine way that can only come from God. And so it's a divine happiness, that can only come from God. And so when we're going through trials and tribulation, He said, you're blessed. And when we're going through our hardships and when we're going through good times, we are blessed, because we live our life in Christ Jesus, and we must keep this in our heart that it comes from Christ Jesus, from God, in and through Christ Jesus, and by the Spirit. And we can't do this on our own, because sometimes when we stop and we look at it, we think that, well, I can do this in my own power. And there's nothing wrong with other disciplines that teach us, but yet and still, no man can do it on his own. No self-help group, no self-encouragement group, no, because this is done by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's done by those that are followers, those that are in Christ Jesus. And because when we look at the Scripture, we search the Scriptures tell us and show us the way. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He's talking about eternal life. And that comes through believing in Christ Jesus. Not only just believing, we trust him, we believe, we have faith, and we walk by faith and not by sight, and we surrender our life and our wills to him. We surrender it all. We depended on him. And we depend on him on a day-to-day basis. If we get up, we surrender. We present this body as a living sacrifice. Romans 12:1 tells us to present it daily as a living sacrifice. And if you're not conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of the mind. This is by the power of the Holy Spirit. We've been transformed and renewing in our day-to-day walk. And as the scripture tells us about the believer's walk, and we walk by faith and not by sight. And we put our trust in him, and we trust God. In any situation, in any circumstances, we depend on him. We cast our cares on him. Tell us not to be anxious for anything, but to seek the kingdom first and his righteousness. And as we come and we search the scriptures, God is constantly telling us how to live this life, and the word of God tells us, make it very clear to us how to live. And how to live, and how to live in his power, and how to be led by the Spirit. And so as we come today, we looked at Matthew's gospel. When we look here, we see in the 5th chapter, and I'm reminded that when we look here in this 5th chapter, 5, 6, and 7, this is the longest sermon, in the New Testament by Christ Jesus. This is Christ Jesus' sermon. You want to read a sermon? A powerful sermon? Christ Jesus' sermon here on the Sermon on the Mount. Chapter 5, 6, and 7, up to 7:45, Christ Jesus is preaching a sermon. And he preached it then, and it's for then and now. And it's the same today, yesterday, and forever. It's his sermon. If we don't preach no other sermon, let's preach this sermon. Let's study this sermon. Because he tells us how to live before him, how to live as a Christian, and how these traits are developed in us, and how the Spirit works in us, and transforming and conforming us to his image. And the Sermon on the Mount. And I tell you again, as disciples, we are to follow his example. He said he set them down and he taught them, he evangelized. Then he did something else. He equipped them. He gave them the equipment they need. For this spiritual mountain climbing, you need equipment. He equipped them. He trained them. He equipped them. And he established them in the word. He established them, gave them the necessary equipment and techniques. He established them, and then he extended them. He sent them out to carry this gospel message to the end of the world. And then he also gave it to us. He told us that all power, all authority, and all power in heaven and in earth has been given to Christ Jesus. He have all power and all authority. And let's not stop and think that the world system has the power. Christ Jesus has all power and all authority. He is the master of the universe, past, present, and future. He is the master of the universe, and he has all power and all authority. And everything is subject to him. And we just thank God. We just praise and worship him as we come as we walk before him. He's our Lord, he's our Savior, he's our King, and he is our High Priest. He went into the holiest of holies and sprinkled his precious blood once and for all, the perfect sacrifice. And we thank God for him. We just praise and worship him. As we come and worship and praise Christ Jesus, and we come to expound on his word, on this spiritual mountain climbing, with the beatitude of Christ Jesus, this blessed attitude of Christ Jesus. As we stop and look here, he writes, as Matthew writes in the gospel, Matthew give us these passages of sacred scriptures. He said, "Now when he saw the crowd, he went on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in sight and spirit. Poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy. And you see, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Then he said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And so as we look, we search the scriptures here, we see all the blessings, but as we look at it, we will see something going on here. We'll see something that is happening here. And how it happens, how it's going, we will see, if you look at it very closely, you'll see Jesus speaking about, in these passages of scriptures, about the poor in spirit, those that mourn, meekness, righteousness, mercy, pure in heart, the peacemaker, the persecuted. And as he speaks about this, he tells us about the blessing that goes with it. The key lesson from the Sermon on the Mount is about these blessings, this happiness, this well being that goes with it. And then when we look at he tells us about the rewards, and the rewards is the kingdom of heaven, that we'll be comforted. And then he also said we'll be filled and satisfied because of righteousness, and we'll be shown mercy, and we'll see God. And then he said, we'll be called sons of God, and we'll inherit the kingdom. These are the blessings. And these blessings goes with these character traits. These blessings goes with all of these character traits. Because you'll find yourself, as we spoke about peace and adversity, and then we find the kindness and the comfort as we comfort one another. And as we cry out to God with a contrite heart and confess our sins, and he's just and faithful to forgive us. He talks about these character traits that cannot be developed by man, and they cannot be developed by the world system, the systems of the world, because they come from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is transforming and conforming us into Christ's image. Because when we look at the world system is completely opposite. Because the world system speaks about pride and personal independence and happiness at the cost, at any cost. Happiness at any cost. Think about it sometime. Operating out of pride and personal independence, working independent of God. The world system is always focused on being independent of God. And happiness at any cost, power, prestige, recognition, reputation. These are the things that you see in the world system. People be looking for reputation. And then we'll come back and we'll stroke people and give these strokes about their power and who they are. And never speak about Christ Jesus, but speak about the person. Worshiping the creature instead of the creator. Worshiping the creature. And come, we'll sit there, we'll speak about this man or this woman of God and how powerful they are. Never looking to Christ Jesus. That's the world system. That's how the world system operates. Power, prestige, recognition. And then the world system will come, and also when it comes down to looking at the pure heart, focus a lot on deception. Then deception is acceptable. We can deceive somebody, it's okay. And the world system, that's what it says, deception is okay. And in the world system, we also find that when we speak about mercy, the world system, we look for strength without feelings, this. And then the peacemaker, personal peace is pursued without concern for the world chaos. That's personal peace. I don't, they don't be concerned about all the chaos in the world. It's just my personal peace. I try to fix myself where I can feel good, look good, and be and entertain and distract from all the chaos that's going on around us. And then today we look at the persecuted. The world system saying, look at the persecuted, they are weak. Weak commitments. The clash of Nevada is weak commitment. That's weak commitment. And the Bible said we inherit the kingdom because sons. and we see God. So as we look at the world system, we said in our last meeting, it's not God's creation that is evil. It's not God created. When God created the heaven and earth, he said it's good. It's not creation. Creation is out of balance ever since the fall of man. When man fell, everything is growing and it fell out of balance. But it's not evil. The world system is evil. When I say the world system, we're talking about all the system and all the system of the world. They have evil. That's why Paul tells us not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of the mind. That's why he tells us to resist the devil. That's why he tells us about the flesh, and all the fleshly desires, because the world system is evil. And so as we look, as we see it, we must keep this in mind, because sometimes we look to the world, we look to the world system trying to find satisfaction and be our thirst to be satisfied in the world system. We'd be looking there to get comfort in the world system. It's not there. Mercy is not there. People say they're merciful. No, it's not there. It's not there. And compassion. People, sometimes we see people, we come up with these things. We come up with things that they look real good, but they're all temporary. Everyone knows we come up with some ideas that are very temporary and they're very superficial. And they look like kindness, but it's not kindness. Somebody do something and they say it's kindness, but it's not kindness. I think any time that you have to pick a specific day to do something to be kind to somebody, that's not the character trait of Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus is speaking of kindness at all times. You show kindness, you show compassion, you show love at all times. This is become part of your personality, your character traits. It's not something that you pick on a specific day and we call this is the day, declared by some edit that comes from out of Washington D.C. This is the day that we're gonna speak to somebody. This is gonna be the national day of whatever they want to call it. And yet and still, it's just the thing about it. We're talking about the character traits that we show mercy and kindness and goodness. And when we went to Micah told us, spoke to us, what God requires of us. What did God require of us? He requires us to be just, treat everybody right, treat people right, to be just. Don't harm people. Treat everybody right. And then he also tells us to show mercy and compassion and love and kindness as we walk before him, humbly before him. And throughout the Beatitudes, the blessed attitude of Christ Jesus, we see Christ Jesus as he tells us the same thing, to be just, to be humble, as we walk before him, humble and just and showing love and compassion and mercy. And as we come to understand this, then we start to look and we can actually really stop and examine ourselves. Do we do things mechanically, or do they come from the heart? Because in Micah, if we see there in Micah 6:8, he's telling us that God wants our heart. When he said, blessed are those that mourn, he's speaking about those that have come before him and they confess their sin. He's just, he's faithful to forgive. When we see it in David, in Psalm 51, when he comes and he cries out to God, and when he cries out to him, created me a clean heart, and he's mourning and he's groaning. God searches the heart of man. And he knows what's going on in our heart. Even if I'm going through some type of mechanical thing, God knows it's not coming from the heart. He knows that. It's just mechanical. It's temporary. It's worldly. And James said, if it's worldly, James said it's demonic. And if it's demonic, he said it is from the devil and it is sin. We have to be real careful with this mechanical stuff. Because if it's not a faith, then it is a what? It is a sin. Because anyway, we just don't talk the mechanical. So going through the mechanical thing, it's mechanical. Yeah, we do it because it's on the book. We do it because it's scheduled. We do it because we're gonna go and do it, and I really don't want to be there, but we going anyhow. So we have to be real careful with this. It has to come from the heart. We serve from the heart. We serve from the heart. We serve. And so here, Jesus speaks to us about something. He speaks to us about going through various trials. But then he said it's blessed. And sometimes we have to stop and think, how can it be blessed? And we're going through trials and tribulation and persecution. Watch these words, because when Jesus tells us in John 16:33, he said, in this world you're going to have troubles. So when he tells us we're going to have troubles, then he tells us we're going to have adversities. That we're going to be what? We're going to be persecuted. Watch this word in John 16:33. He tells us, he let us know that we're going to suffer this. We're going to suffer. And he let us know, and he pointed out to us. He didn't leave nothing hidden from us. He didn't keep nothing hidden. And sometimes we're going through, and we love for everything to be smooth and a smooth ride. But Jesus tells us, and when he tells us something, we don't have to cross-reference. I said that before. I'll never look for no cross-reference when Jesus says something. If he said it, that's it. And when he tells us here in John 16:33, he said, these things are spoken to you that in me that you may have peace. In our last meeting, we talked about the peacemaker, that you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. Tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Watch that word tribulation. Because when we see tribulation, we say, I keep reminding you of it. Tribulation, trouble. He said, going to have trouble. Tribulation. Tribulation comes with what? Affliction and adversity. He said, in this world, you're going to have affliction. You're going to have adversity. Jesus said it. So we don't have to stop and look at, well, I wonder why I'm going through tribulation, why I'm going through adversity. Because when we see a word like tribulation, we start thinking very biblical and we get very religious. Well, tribulation. No, he's talking about troubles. He's talking about adversity. He's talking about afflictions. And he speaks of it. And he also said, when he's speaking this word, he's talking about to call distress. That's something that people don't like to speak about in the church, distress. And this way, you're going to have distress. And then he come up with the word distress. You're going to have oppression. You're going to be oppressed. Then we have the other word. We're going to have depression. Don't like to talk about depression, but he just told us that. You're going to have this problem. But then the Bible tells us don't be anxious for anything. He said, don't be anxious. No, don't be anxious. He tells us not to worry. In this life, you're going to have anxiety. You're going to have worry. He didn't tell you that. He said that, but he tells us not to be anxious. You're going to have it in this world, but not to be anxious. He said, what? I have overcome the world. That is by faith. We must believe that. We must walk in that faith, trust God, trust Christ. See, I have overcome the world. He has overcome the world. So when we're going through trials and tribulation, oppression, depression, anxieties that comes with it, because they are come, because we'll be pushed upon some tension. And as we get pushed in from side, pressed in toward the center, and then there's resistance as we've been pushed in toward the center, and so we are there, and so we know this. But Jesus said, "Be of good cheer." He said, "I have overcome the world." So then we look to Christ Jesus, because he tells us that when we're going through trials, when we're going through tribulation, and when we're going through suffering and distress, he tells us when we're going through these grievous troubles that he have overcome the world. And he let us know this. And that is what really gets us sometimes. I think sometimes we realize we come to that point of tension, and we're there, and we're trying to figure out, what am I going to do? And it's not a time to start wringing your hand. We look to Christ Jesus. We look to the Word. What does the Word tell us? As we operate by faith, what is the Word telling us? And sometimes we sing a song, we say, trouble don't last always. Have you ever noticed that? Trouble don't last always. And as we go through troubles, as we're going through these troubles, this oppression, then something happens in us. God doesn't take away the trials. He doesn't take away the tribulation. He doesn't take it away. And we should learn something from that. Because somebody will come along and say, well, you know, he's God Almighty. You just prayed. You said he is sovereign. And you praised him, saying that he is everlasting and everlasting, that he has all power, all authority in heaven and in earth. And then he let you go through all of these troubles. He told me to be of good cheer. He said, be of good cheer. He said he'll never leave us or forsake us. And he promised that. And he promised that I've overcome the world. And he let us know that he's going to take care of us. Look at verse number 32. I was just looking as I was talking. He said, indeed, the hour is coming now that you will be scattered, each on his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. He assured us right there that the Father is with us. Even in the midst of persecution, there's joy for peace in the sin of Christ's victory. Now, that's how we must fix our mind. Because Jesus tells us here in the Beatitude, when he speaks to us here, he said, here about the persecution. We are on persecution. And he said, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So when we see that, here in John 16:33, he let us know here, even in the midst of persecution, there is joyful peace in the certainty of Christ's victory. We have joy for peace. Remember, he said, blessed are the peacemakers. And he told us to live peaceful among men. That's what he's speaking about. We have joy for peace, even when we're going through persecution. And the church is a persecuted church. Sometime in this, when we look around ourselves here in the 21st century, we look at the church here in America, and we watch the secularization of the church. We have to be real careful, because the church is becoming very secularized, the secularization of the church. And then you have the biblical church, the church that is focusing on what the Word of God, not the cultural Christian. That group is usually persecuted. Is persecuted. I was usually to it. Is persecuted. So, because what happened in the secularization of the church, the secularized church tries to live in two worlds. They try to live in the world as well as in two kingdoms. Let's put it that way. That they try to live in the world, and they try to live in God's kingdom. So they say things that sound good, look good, but yet and still they can even quote the scriptures and say the scriptures and speak of Christ, but yet and still live another life. See, James warned us. When James tells us a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, let's not go and pick and look for double-minded. We have to examine ourselves and see if we're living that way. Are we living, trying to live in the world system? Are we living in the kingdom of God? Are we trying to live in both? Because Jesus warned us and tells us that you can't serve two masters. You can't live in both. You can't be, oh, I'm going to serve God this week, and then I'm over here, tossed to and fro by every wind and doctrine, like a ship on the ocean. And so I've been tossed to and fro. James come and tell us that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. And so we said that double-minded. And so what happened is sometimes we think that it's something that we're saying that we can point out and stuff. But yet and still, no, we have to really examine ourselves. If you're during the secularization of the church in America. And sometimes when we look very closely, we'll see it. It is so clear. Because I'll tell you what happens is we must look at it very closely, and we must stand on the Word of God, because what happens is Jesus spoke of it. He spoke about the wheat and the tares, and they're in the church. And you see the secularization will creep in that way too, because it's there. Can you pull it up? No, you have to stand on the Word. You have to stand on the Word, because those people, yet and still, they are there, and they are the culture type Christian. They grow up right alongside of the biblical Christian, Because in the book of Revelation, let us know that when John speaks of it, he said he saw an angel with a great sickle. He's coming down, and he's going to reap the harvest. And when he reaps the harvest, he's going to do what? He's going to put the grain in the garner, and he's going to throw the stubbles in the fire. And so as we look at it, it's something that we must stay focused on the Word of God instead of trying to fix other people, because they're growing up right inside of the church, the secularized church. It's right there in the midst of the body of believers. And it's our job to carry this message and keep hammering this message, even inside the church. We have to keep this message. The message is the pure word. James said the pure word, the true religion. He said pure religion is what? It goes back to what Jesus said in the Beatitude. And he gives us a metaphor. The metaphor is what? We take care of the needy, the orphans, and the widows. We take care of the needy. We show love. We show compassion. We show justice. And we be humble. And so we must still operate in that way. And I know at times we'll find ourselves pressed down. We start telling ourselves, and I find myself telling myself, and I'm saying things. And then I come to that understanding that, no, we are the body. We just can't do it. We just can't do that. We have to continue to walk humbly before him. We have to continue to show compassion, and we have to continue to show mercy and be just. Even in a situation where there's persecution, even in a situation where we're going through oppression and depression and all the press, and we're in the press, and we've been pushed to the point of tension. And so Jesus tell us, and he let us know about the reward that comes with this. As he speak to us about it, we see here, he said, we'll inherit the kingdom of heaven. And he let us know it's out of the persecution. And the reward is to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so as we look and we search the scriptures, we must keep this in mind, because it's easy for me to not watch things and become shipwrecked or abandon the faith. It's easy. Even as a Christian, you abandon. People say, well, you mean Christians abandon? Yeah, they leave. Abandon. Walk away. And what happens is we weather the storm. Because there's something about adversity, there's something about persecution, there's something about affliction that most, as Christians, as we must look at very closely. Because when we press through adversity, when we press through the affliction, when we press through the persecution, something happens to you. It strengthens you. It strengthens you. Somebody said, why not God just take it away from us? No, he put us there. We're there to strengthen us, to enrich us. So he strengthens us and he enriches us as we grow. And then we learn to explore and be and enrich and strengthen in the Word. That is a part of the equipment and the training and the equipment. And when he give us the equipment during these times of persecution, it's just like going through weight training. It's like going through the running the patterns in football. It's like going through all the training that the military go through, and then we press through it. As we press through, it strengthens you. It not only that, it also give you encouragement. It encourages you as you grow stronger. You become more encouraged, and you can share this, and you can help somebody else along the way. Because if God came and took all of the way, we become a Christian, and he just took it all away. And he said, he'll fight our battles. And he'll fight our battles. He'll fight our battles. He'll fight our battles. He'll go before us and fight our battles. And, you know, he'll keep the enemy all away. But yet, we still go through the trials and the tribulation. And the enemy can't touch us. The enemy be there, and he be trying to broker a deal, but he can't touch us. I'm going to let him go through the trial. I'll let him go through the tribulation, but you can't touch him because he belonged to me. He belonged to me. He's my child. So he's my child. He's my son. He's my daughter, because look at what the scriptures tell us here. He tells us about the peacemaker. Be called sons of God. And the scripture tells us that we belong to him. Jesus Christ is not ashamed to call us brother. He's not ashamed to call us sister, and that's we. And that he give us the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit of adoption, and we cry to him, Abba, Father. And so as we look, we see right here that he strengthened us. He strengthened us as we go through. As we're going through trials and tribulation, fiery trials, and we're going through this, he is strengthening us. He is enriching us. He is encouraging us. He put us in the press, and we're there. And so when other people see us, and they be going through, they say, "Wow, those guys are going through, and they're not. They don't even look worried." No, he tells us not to be anxious of anything. Cast our cares on him. Seek ye the kingdom first and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. So we're going through, and then we be an example. Just as he is the example, we will be an example to the world. We'll be salt, we'll be light, and other people will see Christ. And we get an opportunity to share the gospel. This is what Christ did for me. This is what happens. And then we can show compassion, and we can show love and compassion to others when they are going through trials. When we show love and compassion to others, then we get an opportunity to share the gospel. And we can they will tell other people about Christ. Those Christ-like people helped me, and they helped me as I was going through. And then you can win a sinner. Win him over to Christ. Soul winning. Because sometimes we can become very selfish and self-centered. I'm not going to help him do that. Paul warned us, you might be entertaining an angel. You don't know. But yet and still, he gives us that opportunity that we can share the gospel with somebody else. Letting them know. As we go through trials, fiery trials, and we come out to on the other side. That's why they say trouble don't last always. Sometimes we find ourselves, we get caught up, we fall away from the faith. The Hebrew writer tells us that in the book of Hebrews, we look at the Hebrews, you'll see six things that causes, he gives us 6 points there that he warns us about. 6 points that we're warned about in this warning, in this Christian walk. Because there you find people wanting to go back, want to fall away because they're going through trials and tribulations. And so Jesus tells us this, and he let us know that we're blessed. Because when it comes to the word of God, he let us know. Because throughout the word, we get these words of encouragement, and we've been encouraged about going through. James makes this statement. James starts out talking about it. James calls us James, the bondservant of Christ of God, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Remember when Jesus tell the disciples they're going to be scattered? Here James is speaking to them. They've been scattered abroad. They've been scattered all over. And so I think sometimes we wonder, why do they get scattered? You know, they're suffering persecutions, and so they're scattered. But yet and still, sometimes we find ourselves get scattered because God is working, and he's working. He'll move us out of a place. We can get real comfortable in one place in Jerusalem and just stay there. But yet and still, they're scattered everywhere. So James sends him a word of encouragement. Watch what he say to him very closely. Watch what he say to the 12 tribes which have been scattered abroad. Greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubted is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man and unstable in all of his ways. Getting tossed to and fro. Trying to operate in two places. No, he's been tossed to and fro. I'm over here and I'm over there. Double-minded man. Tossing to and fro. And so, and as we look, James let us know this. James speaks to us about this persecution. He writes to the church, and he tells us about profiting from trials. Profiting from trials. How can you profit from trial? I said it earlier, it strengthens you. It encourages you. It builds you up. And that's going through trial. Because he said, watch what he said, what happened here. James goes step by step and tells us step by step what is going to happen as he relates to, tells us about this various trials and all. It builds up. And as we look and we see the building up process, it builds up. And it builds us up. Because James started out by talking about patience. Watch what he said about that patience. And then he goes on and he continues to show us how the word builds and encourages. And so when we see James speaking to us, he speaks to us about this. He's accounted all joy. We back to the joy. Joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy of the Lord is our salvation. He said, count it all joy. And then Jesus tells us to be of good cheer, rejoice. Always about joy. Going through trials and tribulation with joy. And so as James speaks to us, look at what he's saying, what he's telling us here. He comes and he let us know about this. He say, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Various trials. You're going through trials and tribulation and counting joy. Can you imagine that? Here James is telling us as we go through trials and tribulation, we're going to count it joy. We live in a persecuted church. Here in America, we come under the persecution, but it's not like in other countries. Now, you can go to some places that are, as I'm standing here teaching and on this broadcast teaching, and as we said, and there are countries that will hunt me down. And there's no way I can stand and talk about Jesus Christ or the Bible or go on the computer and talk about it or stand in public places and talk about it. No, because the church is persecuted in other parts of the world. The church is persecuted in America, but it's very subtle. Most of the time, we don't stop to think about it. It's very subtle. It's very subtle. And what you'll find most of the time in the persecuted church in America is persecuted through the legal channel. Persecution. Watch the word persecution when you come up against religion, when you come up against an ethnic group, when you come up against racism, when you come up against women as far as feminism, and when you find people going up against people because of their race, creed, color. You know, persecution. And then you find, and so in America, you'll find persecution. It goes on all the time. But yet and still, when it comes to the church is persecuted, but most of the time, it'll come through a legal system. We use the legal system a lot. And one of the biggest things you find here that people really grasp real fast is separation of church and state. And they're interpreted the way they want to interpret it, and most people go along with it. The majority go along with it. Oh, that's the church. You can't say this because this is the government, you know? And we do it very subtle. And so, but you go into other countries, it's not subtle. It is not subtle. I was telling Dr. Dorsey, we was talking about a friend of mine, and I lost contact with him. We went into a place called Mauritania, which is in some part of the Middle East and somewhere in that area. And he did something. He was going to share the gospel. He went back to teach English, but yet and still he was sharing the gospel. He goes in as teaching English as a second language, but he's a Christian and he shares the gospel. Because in that country, that's persecution. Christianity is not allowed. He even changed his name. Somebody said, "Why he changed his name?" Watch it very closely. You'll see name changes in the Bible. He changed his name. He changed his name. He changed his name to a name that fitted that the culture, so people don't up and see Christian names. But yet, and still, he goes in, and he shares the gospel. But there, while he's there, there's persecution. He put his life on the line. He's there, and he is. He is preaching and teaching the gospel. Somebody said, why didn't he just go ahead and call his name Frankie? Or why didn't he just go ahead and call his name Patrick or something like that? No. When you see Paul, Paul got to have Greeks with him. Timothy is a Greek. And but you understand what he tells Timothy? He tells Timothy to do something. He tells Timothy when he's there, he's talking about the circumcision. Why do he do that? Because the simple fact that when he come and deal with the Jews, they get looking for what, you know. We're not going to have create, you know, he didn't have to do it, but yet and still, what happens here? The simple fact that when you come before these people, then they're not going to be creating a problem. And so sometimes people say, well, he changed his name, and he did this, and he went into this country to share the gospel. Christians are persecuted there. And there's I've met a lot of men and women that live in countries where Christianity is persecuted. Another one of my classmates is from the Sudan, and Christianity persecuted. And so, but they have a persecuted church. And then there are others that I know. Churches have been completely destroyed, congregation killed, as well as the pastors. Persecuted church. But here in America, we never stop to think about that the church is persecuted. And Jesus tell us that it be blessed. And James tell us to count it all joy. And Jesus tell us to be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And he tells us not to fear who can kill the body. But fear the one that can kill the body and the soul. So he tells us right there, because any man be in Christ Jesus is a new creation. So we're in Christ. And then the Bible tells us that we don't have to fear dying the second death. And as we stop and we look at it at this, we keep this in mind, because when James speaks about it, James let us know. James tells us to count it all joy. When James tells us this, he's talking about the walk of faith. And then James tells us that faith, the walk of faith, faith is to be expressed through good works. Faith is not simply an idea separated from real life. We have to keep that in mind. James tells us that faith is not something that is separated from real life. Because if that was the case, it was just like blind faith, you know, separated from real life. Faith is not separated from real life, and we need to understand that. Because sometimes people say, look, you say, well, you know, it's faith. I have faith. It's not, and it's not passive. That's James. What James is telling us. This is not a passive walk. The walk of faith is not passive. It's not separated from real life. Real people going through real things in real time. But we operate in faith. Just what? Live by faith. We walk by faith. We walk in faith. Not by sight. We look around us, all this stuff is going on. We know that can be that we can suffer, that we're going to be persecuted. And my friend, he and his wife went into Martinga. When they went there, he went without knowing that, hey, if I get caught, I'll be killed. And he went anyway, but he walks in faith. He go to share the gospel. But here it is. When we look at this faith that James talked about, faith is expressed through good works. Faith is not simply an idea separated from real life. Rather, faith is to produce in us right living, right motive, right thinking, right relationship. That's what faith does. That's what faith does. It's not something passive. So what are we talking about? We're talking about faith under fire. Faith under fire. And so, and as we look at this, some people say, oh, man, I'm not going to go way over there and do that. Hey, you ain't got to go way over there and do that. That's in our day-to-day walk as a Christian. When we're dealing with people on a day-to-day basis, when you stand up and speak and talk about Jesus Christ, share the gospel here in America, where people tell you not to do it, you get just as persecuted here. People come up against you here. Because I've heard people say, well, you ain't got to go. You don't have to go into Sudan to do this. You don't have to go into Afghanistan or Kazakhstan to do this or that, where the church is persecuted. The church is persecuted here in America. And they said, well, you say you're on the radio speaking, sure, because we have freedom of religion in America. But yet and still, people say, well, you know, we don't want to hear it because of the places we don't want you to talk about that. I've been in a situation where people would actually tell you that you don't want to talk about Jesus, but yet and still you can speak about anybody else. It's right. I've been there. I've been in places where you can't speak about Jesus, you can't speak in the name of Jesus, you can't walk in faith, they'll persecute you just like that Jesus said they persecute the prophets that were before you. And they will persecute you because you can't say it. I've been in workplaces where it's not allowed. I've seen it happen at the place I work. I watched it slowly and slowly disappear. Christianity slowly and slowly moved out of a hospital setting. But yet and still, during the time of other things, you would see all kinds of stuff that you would see people would be celebrating. But when it came to Christmas, they just took Christmas completely out of the hospital. You didn't see nothing Christmas-like. It was just nothing there, nothing. Nobody mentioned it. Nobody talked about it. But yet and still, when it came to other stuff, people will just be all over the place. And they tell you, no, we can't do that. No, we can't do that. So we still have it. So James tells us, and Jesus has told us that we count it all joy. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. And don't sound like I'm wrestling with the world. I used to wrestle with the world. I used to sound wrestling with the world. Why are you wrestling with the world? Because they're going to do what they're going to do anyway. Jesus still has to let us know that the world loves his own. If he loves his own, if he buys his children good gifts, what would God do for us? And so as we look and we see James telling us this, watch what James tells us about faith, and we're going to have to say this again about faith. First of all, it's not simply an idea separated from real life. Faith is not separated from real life. Rather, faith is to produce in us right living. Faith produces right living in us. Faith is producing us right motives. Faith produces in us right thinking and right relationships. And our good works confirms that faith is alive and active in us. Our good works confirm that faith is alive and active in us. Seek to live your faith daily in practical ways. We live faith daily in practical ways. Faith is practical. It's not passive. We operate by faith, not by sight. It's practical. Faith in our relationships. Faith in the right relationship, right motives. So when James speaks to us, he let us know here. He said, count it all joy. Verse number 2. Verse 2, he said, my brother, count it all joy when you're in various trials. And he let us know right there, let joy reign when you are surrounded by many trials and tests. Now, can you let joy reign when you're surrounded by many trials and tests? That's what he's talking about, this persecution. Let joy reign around when you're surrounded by many trials and tests. When you're in the test, Jesus said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so he is repressing through. And then James tells us in verse number 3, look what he said in verse number 3. In verse 3, knowing that testing of your faith produces patience. Know that trials and tests and trials will result in endurance and patience. Endurance. That's why God don't just take this thing away from us. Patience. We deliver patience. Love is patience. And endurance. It strengthens us. Strengthen us. And then look at verse 4. He tells us here, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. And patience endures trial, knowing that the result will be maturity of faith that lack nothing. It's not maturing. It strengthens us. It matures us when we're going through adversities and trials and tribulation. And then James tells us in verse 5, watch what he tells us here in verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God for it, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. If you lack wisdom, ask God for it. So James let us know that when we ask God, he asks freely ask for wisdom. Be assured that God will give it in abundance. Ask God for wisdom. When we're going through trials and tribulation and persecution, ask God for wisdom, and He'll give it to us. He'll give it to us. He'll show us, He'll give us the wisdom, what to do, what required of us, how to do it when we're going through these trials. That's why we can count it our joy. We're walking by faith. God is with us. Jesus said He'll never leave us or forsake us. And He tells us, be of good cheer, and He strengthened us. He strengthened us. And so He's talking about, James is letting us know that we're going to be strengthened. Peter comes back, and he writes to church. The church is persecuted and done the dispersion. When he writes it, Peter starts out, watch what he says in verse number 1. To the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus and Galatia and Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, and left according to the knowledge of God the Father and sanctification of the Spirit for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied. As he start out, he starts telling us this. They're under persecution. Grace and peace be multiplied. And then he let us know in verse number 6 through 9, Peter talks to us about the refiner's fire. Watch what he says from verse 6 to 9 about the refiner's fire. In this you'll greatly rejoice. That's joy again. Though now for a little while, if needed to be, you have been grievous by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice in joy and expressly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 to 9. Peter tells us about it. When we're going through these fiery trials, when subjected to the intense heat, we find ourselves to be just like gold. When subjected to intense heat, gold is refined, and impurities are burned away, and pure gold remains. And see, when we're going through fiery trials, and we're going through those trials and tribulation, James is telling us it's just like pure gold. All the impurities have been burned out. We've been matured. We've been strengthened. And so Peter tells us the same here as we go through. And like gold, faith tested by five trials and difficulties is strengthened and purified. See, God sent us through these adversities, this persecution, these trials, these tribulations, purification, just like gold, been purified. All the impurities, all the dross, all of it's been taken out of us. Somebody said, you're in the fire. We find ourselves in the fire. And God's taking care of us. He's there with us. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And Jesus says, bless. We've been blessed. And we thank God for that. As He put us through the fiery trials. And as believers, we learn that our faith depends on God alone. Our faith depends on God alone. Such faith is precious to God. And when we face trials, we can greatly rejoice, for we know that God will strengthen our faith if we continue to hold on to Him. When we've gone through fiery trials, persecution, distress, let's hold on to God. Hold on to Him. Here Jesus pointed out to us here in the Beatitude, He made it very clear to us as we're going through. And He let us know in the Beatitude, the blessed attitude of Christ Jesus, that we go through trials and tribulation, that He let us know that we have these character traits that He looks for in us, that we've been conformed in His image, this is a part of the fiery trial. And it's about faith and faith as we walk by faith and not by sight. And we just thank God because He teaches us this. He shows us this. He gives us the Holy Spirit as we're going through trials and tribulation, and He's purifying us, and He's shaping us, and He's molding us, and He put us on the potter's wheel, conforming us to His image. And that's what the Word of God is telling us. And it's by faith And James let us know that, and Peter let us know it here. And when it comes, we learn that faith depends on God alone. Faith is not something that we come up with. It depends on God alone. And so when we search it, let's keep this in mind. When we're facing trial, we can greatly rejoice. We can rejoice. Paul is sitting in the Philippian jail, and Paul cried, he said, rejoice. See how many times Paul said rejoice? This man is sitting in a Philippian jail waiting to be executed, and he tells us to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord at all times. Rejoice. And he said, we count it all joy when we're going through persecution. When we're facing trial, we can greatly rejoice when we know that God will strengthen our faith if we continue to hold on to him. And we just thank God. We thank God for all that he said to us and taught us. And when we look at this spiritual mountain climbing, when we focus our attention on spiritual mountain climbing and the 8 steps, the beatitude of Jesus Christ our Lord, we just praise and worship him this day. As we come to look at this series of messages, and we just thank God for this series of messages. And as he has brought us this far, and we give him all the honor and all the glory and all the praise, and we just thank God for that. We thank God for all that he's doing here at Inner Spirit of Ministry World Evangelism. We thank God for our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Doris Dorsey, as we once again come thanking God for all that he's doing here, all he's doing in the life of the believers. And we just thank you for joining in with us this day as we come to search the scriptures. And we just give him all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. As we complete this series, as we looked at the Beatitude, and so we just thank God, and we praise and worship him. This is Reverend Frank Dorsey, in the Spirit of the Ministry of Word Evangelism, our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Doris Dorsey. God bless you.